Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome to, I call this Heart Equations now because I believe that is the spirit of what God is doing. And, well, we did not have class last week because I've experienced Noah's flood in my home. And, been blessed with opportunities to experience the daily offerings, morning and evening, and all the way through, and seeing where my soul needs to be saved, and seeing where the Lord in His life is there for the Father, and I just thank the Lord that, you know. Last week, we didn't have class because it was the night before when all of that stuff happened. And I'll just wait a second for our camera lady, who is so precious and a servant of the Lord, is fixing everything here. Thank you. So, anyway, what was I talking about? Yes. So last week, the night before we were supposed to have class, all of that happened in my home. And instead of sharing what we're going to be sharing tonight, you know, the Lord was able to and is trying to write it in my heart and make it so much more than we talked about this afternoon in our Wednesday afternoon Skype time, so much more than the hearing of the ear. But to really know the Lord as our life and the Lamb in these things. So I look forward, and I have looked forward all week to our time together tonight and the blessedness of being able to fellowship in the things the Lord is sharing with us and doing in us and bringing us into right now. And hallelujah. Lord, make it flesh. Make it real in our walk. Bring forth your Son. That's our heart cry. That's our heart cry. And that's what this is. These heart equations are all about this. So I'm going to just begin to share what the Lord gave for the last week. And I really believe these notes, these things are going to, I believe, minister to those who are kind of really following in the theme and the spirit of this class. So if you have your notebook or your journal, probably want to grab it right now. I am going to begin, as I felt led of the Lord to do, to give questions and homework and specific things that I believe are going to help everybody who is really partaking of this class enter in. And there's going to be searches and word searches and questions that aren't really, really meant to be homework or study in that manner, but more are meant to help you begin to gather the materials for seeing how these heart equations will come forth. So it should be pretty exciting and for your hungry hearts, really, really edifying in the Lord. So there's two main areas that we're going to be searching and gathering elements or variables for our heart equations. We spoke of one of them the last time, which is time, times, and the dividing of time. Time, times, and the dividing of time. That is literally going to be an equation all in itself with many parts to it, but the core of it is so personal, and it can really bring your heart to a place of going, oh Lord, look at what's in your heart about your Lamb in us, and just wow, Lord, just break before Him. And I think that's what this times, and the dividing of time can do, as the Spirit just shares it with our hearts. So, I have some questions in regards to time, times, and the dividing of time. Now, I'm going to email everybody who is part of this class these questions so you don't have to answer them right now. We're not going to do that. We're just going to have me read them. So I'm going to go ahead and do that, and then I'm going to email you these questions so that you can research them and, you know, seek the answers in the Word. So the first one is this, and I'm just going to read them. The students will be required to do this as their homework, but the rest of us can just get on board and enjoy the journey. Number one, what verses in the Bible could signify the marking of time as precious when in the corridor? Those of us who have been in 1 Peter will understand that word. Or for those of us who haven't, during times of trial. And remember, these are clues to time, times, and the dividing of time and its meaning. What verses in the Bible could signify the marking of time as precious when in the corridor or times of trial? Number two, name all of the verses in Daniel and Revelation that specifically mark time. And this one will be really, you'll enjoy this. Name all the verses in Daniel and Revelation that specifically mark time. And number three is, once again, I'll email you these, but number three is, what is the differences that you notice in the references in relation to time that are in Daniel and Revelation? And an example of that would be, some are days, some are months, some are years. And I believe that the Word of God isn't random, or it just kind of for no reason uses day instead of month, instead of year, instead of hour. But I believe that those things speak of something that's in the heart of God concerning His Son and concerning His Lamb Son in us. Okay, and the fourth question is, choose one scripture in Daniel or Revelation that uses year, month, and days. Just pick one. Maybe one where you feel the Spirit of the Lord drawing your heart. With this verse, what is happening in the time period in that scripture? So maybe you picked a scripture in Daniel or in Revelation that has, say, 42 months or 1,260 days or something like that, or 3.5 days. What is happening around that number? Is the woman bringing forth a man-child? Is the beast making war with the saints? What's happening around that number? And if you want to just gather in more seeds, you can do that with as many of the verses that signify time in Daniel and Revelation. And just, you know, in my humble submission to you, you can just lay those before the throne of God and the heart of your Father and the Spirit, your teacher, and with meekness and brokenness say, Lord, what is in your heart in regards to having the Spirit signify these times and these marking of time in such a specific manner? And just, you know, open up and see what's going on right there when that's happening. And I believe that can be just a place where the Spirit can begin to minister these things to our hearts. So having said that, I will be emailing that homework to people, but we're going to read some verses now on the daily offering. So I'm just reading to you out of Exodus chapter 29, and it's going to be verses 38 through 39. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar: two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. Okay, before I read this verse, I just want to say that the second theme that's going to cover at least two of the six equations has to do with the daily offering. And so we want to familiarize ourselves with the daily offering because it's so significant. It's so significant to the heart of the Lord. And so significant to Daniel. So significant to Daniel. This daily offering. Oh, I don't know. I don't know how to say it. It's, oh man. You know, there's the big events and there's Calvary, you know, the big cross, the monumental moment. But these daily offerings were the people of God were required, if from the heart of God, if you will, just to offer up the lamb every morning and every evening, and on the Sabbath, two lambs in the morning and two lambs in the evening. This is so deep in the heart of the Father and in the heart of God, I believe, from the scriptures, that, you know, to open up and take it in more than just a teaching about the daily offering, but to just break before the Lord and say, Lord, wow, what is in your heart for me each day concerning this daily offering? I believe that this can really impact us. And as we do that, once we come to the heart equations, it will just be the cherry on top, just sealing the deal. But let's read about the daily offering and what the verses in Exodus just say, defining it, how it was to be done in the Old Testament. So this is 29, verses 38 through 39 in Exodus. It says, now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at evening. And with one lamb, a tenth of flour mingled with a fourth part of hin and beaten oil, and a fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. The other lamb you shall offer at evening, and shall do thereto according to the meal offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof for a sweet savor, for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Numbers chapter 28, verses 1 through 8 also speaks of the daily offering. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel and say to them, my offering and my bread for my sacrifices, make these by fire. It's a sweet savor unto me. Let's read that again. We can just hear the heart of the Father. He says, command the children of Israel and say to them, my offering and my bread for my sacrifices made by fire for a sweet savor unto me shall ye observe to offer unto me in their due season. And you shall say unto them, this is the offering made by fire, which will offer up unto the Lord. Two lambs of the first year without spot every day, day by day, for a continual burnt offering. The one lamb will offer in the morning, and the other lamb will offer in the evening. And then it continues on with the other parts of the sacrifice and the drink offering. And the other lamb you'll offer in the evening, as in the meal offering of the morning and the drink offering thereof, you'll offer them. There are sacrifices made by fire. They're a sweet savor unto the Lord. On the Sabbath, you'll see in chapter 28, verses 9 through 10, they were to offer double lamb. But, you know, this is where the Spirit of the Lord grabbed a hold of me in the very beginning, and he hasn't let go. And just, you know, the evening sacrifice, the morning sacrifice, it's like the Lord's been using it to redefine time, you know, to me personally, based on what I'm seeing in the Word. Like, Lord, it's the Lamb that makes the world go round. Him by whom all things consist. It speaks of that in Colossians. By him all things consist. He is the head. He is the fullness. He has the preeminence. He's the firstborn. He's the one that pleases the Father. By him all things, by him were all things made. By him all things consist. And the day can be full and many, many things can be happening. But if God measures time by the release of his Son down here in literal time and space and the temporal linear realm that we dwell in as humans, if he marks time by his lamb coming forth out of us, how do I mark time? How do I mark a morning and an evening? You know, many times the evening sacrifice in my life, just pitiful example, I need so much more Jesus. But in the sense of releasing him in the daily offering. But you know, sometimes at the evening sacrifice, this is just a personal practical note, we're going to look at the evening sacrifice in a very precious way in the scripture soon. But you can be tired. You know, you're tired and the day is done and it's dark. Your energy is spent. You want to let down. You're ready to just shake it all off and take some me time. Or your mind is weary. Your soul is tired. There's the residue of the day and the conflicts and the burdens and the things and the evildoers and your own lack and the problem at work or the problem you had with your friend or your spouse or whatever. And you just want to get passive and sleep through that. You want to sleep it up. I'm just going to watch a TV show and get my mind off of it. Get my mind off of it. How many? All of us probably. I mean, I just need to get my mind off of it. And you can just see the Father going, I'm hungry for my meal. You know, the all-consuming fire just eating up that offering and his eternal heart breathing in that sweet savor of his son, filling in, filling up, bringing it in as we pour over him. We pour over him the fragrance off that altar. We feed him that lamb. We spoke of this in Leviticus chapter 1. He said, Leviticus, otherwise, the name in Hebrew being Vikaira, which means, and he called, and what did he call them to? To the burnt offering, to bring them, to bring him his lamb as an offering. Did you see the heart of God in that? And I'm going, I need some me time. I need to just wash it away. And then going, Lord, how can I not allow my soul to rob you of the evening sacrifice? How can I think of Jesus on the cross, and he's weak, and he's poured out, and he's just carried the cross for miles. He's been scourged and beaten and spat upon. He's barely able to breathe because of the way crucifixion is. He's tired. He didn't take the gall. He's not drawing from another source of strength except his Father, pouring out his soul, pouring out his soul, pouring out his soul. This is the real evening sacrifice is this. This is Calvary. This is him. He is that evening sacrifice in us each day. And he showed it to us that day on the Day of Atonement when he died on Calvary. But look at him. Look at him. Look at the factors that he had to experience as a man, as a human. Philippians 2 tells us he was God, but he made himself a man. He made himself a servant. He humbled himself to the obedience of the death, even the death of the evening sacrifice. And then it says what in Philippians 2? Let this mind be in you. Let this evening sacrifice lamb be on your altar. Isn't it true? Lord, I'm so tired. My soul is so not saved. It's not poured out. It's just upset. And I don't want to think about you right now. I just want to have some downtime. And that's just the way we are. But he is different. He's the hope of glory in us. It's not about us pretending to try to be like Jesus. It's about us allowing the Spirit of Christ that is inside of every born-again believer to rise up, save our soul, come forth unto the Father to release the firstborn at the evening sacrifice. You know, there's a psalm that says, the raising of my hands and my prayers are as the evening sacrifice. You know, Lord, I'm not just praying right now. I'm not just pouring out my heart and soul by the Spirit of Christ in me. This is unto you, Father. This is the evening sacrifice. You're partaking of your Spirit. Your Lamb is coming forth. It's not I, but Christ. And it's not just a prayer. It's a release of his Spirit. I'm praying for my enemies. I'm blessing those who cursed me. I'm casting down those thoughts, and I'm sowing the Spirit of Christ over. You know, it's the coming forth as the evening my prayers are as an evening sacrifice. You know, we can see those three disciples when Jesus was going into his evening sacrifice, preparing to be offered in the Garden of Gethsemane. They fell asleep. It was just, oh God. This is Peter, this is James, this is John, and they're his closest. But they're like, Lord, it's so hard right now. We can't bear this. It's just, you know, if you ever had something that was so heavy, you just went to sleep because you couldn't, it was too much for you, you know, just couldn't process. And sleep was a blessed relief from it. And that's the way we are, you know, and maybe the Lord gave us that relief valve until Christ is formed and we are able to be with him and fellowship with him in his times of suffering, in those eternal moments that we don't want to sleep through, the eternal moments. So we go, Lord, there's more going on here than my overwhelmedness, my confusion, my soul being, what, I don't get it, this is hard. Lord, there's more happening right now in you. Forget about my soul, forget about my body, forget about my tired and confused mind. What's happening in Jesus? He's sweating great drops of blood. He's travailing in prayer. He's pouring out his soul. Jesus, what's going on with you? Forget about me. I know I don't like it. It's humid out here. There's mosquitoes. I'm afraid they're going to come and take me and crucify me. I don't understand. I don't want you to die. We've been together for 3.5 years. What's going on? Everything's changing. It's dark. It's scary. What? And all of our soul wants to just focus on ourselves, our body, our fears, our minds, our emotions rise. But they're in front of us. But now within us is the Lamb of God, the evening sacrifice himself. And he's going, Father, Father, not my will, but thine be done. I'll drink this cup. I'm with you. I'm coming, Lord. I'm going through the evening sacrifice. By Christ, we bring forth glory to God. By Jesus Christ alone, we bring forth this sacrifice, all glory to Jesus. He is that. He is that eternal Spirit within us. And only he can be that evening and morning sacrifice. So we go, well, I guess I can't do the morning and the evening sacrifice because it requires a lamb. You're like, well, that's kind of basic, Kelly. Sure, everybody would know that if you're going to offer a lamb in the evening and a lamb in the morning. Or let me just give a little clue here. Spoiler alert, the order of evening and morning, or morning and evening, is huge in the equations of Daniel. Huge. That's all we'll say for now. You can search that out. We'll talk more. But oh, of course you need a lamb to go to the altar in the morning. Yeah, but in our lives, when we want to bless the Lord, we want to bring forth an offering to God. I know this sounds so simple and I have to ask it to myself, and it's ridiculous that I do. But I have to say, Kelly, are you bringing yourself right now and your love and your commitment and your passion for God? Or are you bringing his Son, the Lamb of God, in whom he is well pleased? Only Jesus is that Lamb, not I, Paul said in Galatians 2:20, but Christ. It's not me. Lord, I'm a mess. My soul's a mess. My body's tired. I am wanting to think about myself right now. Holy Spirit, there's a lamb inside of this house. There's something to offer the Father inside of this old earthen broken up vessel that's a big old mess. This broken earthen pot has a treasure inside of it. Well, let's look at the scriptures. What does it say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10? We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power be of God and not of ourselves. But then what does it say? Bearing in our bodies, our mortal flesh, the dying of the Lord Jesus. There's the Lamb. He's the treasure. It's the Lamb, the dying of the Lord Jesus. But notice this. It doesn't just say bearing in our bodies, the dying of the Lord Jesus in that verse. It says this, and this is where the daily offering comes in the New Testament. Always bearing in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Always. Doesn't it say that keep that perpetual fire going from the morning to the evening, from the evening to the morning? It's not just that one lamb here and that one lamb there, but there's a perpetual fire going on that altar. Always. That's the daily walk. That's the lamb in us. Morning, afternoon, evening, always bearing in our body. It's not me. It's my mortal flesh. It's my earthen vessel. It's this cracked old clay pot that's a mess. But the treasure is the dying of the Lord. The evening sacrifice is in there. The morning offering is the Lamb of God. The dying of the Lord Jesus is in this, my mortal flesh. Father, Holy Spirit, lift up the Lamb and find him. Together, let us find the Lamb in us, inside of me. Three goats to the left, five ewes to the right. Oh, there's one. That's the Lamb. Pull him up, bring him out. Set him on the altar and let him rise. I mean, Christ is forming in all of us, and in some, we have a whole flock of lambs, but it's just Jesus. It's one. It's him. But Christ is formed in our inward parts, and he is growing. And one person has the lamb formed in many motives, many meditations. His spirit, his eternal nature is motivating and governing in many ways in some. And in others, he's just growing. He's just beginning to form. Is one better than the other? No. Is one loved more than the other? No. Is one more righteous than the other? No. Christ is all of our righteousness and all our righteousness. So we don't compare ourselves among ourselves or measure in that way. But it's just a process of growing. Paul said this in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. I travail in birth till Christ be formed in you. And we see that in Revelation 12 on a certain front as well. But that means that some are going to be able to just plop those lambs up continually. And as we travail, as we groan for the manifestation of the Son of God out from us, speaks of this in Romans chapter 8. We ask the Spirit who can intercede in ways we don't even know to pray, with groanings that can't even be uttered. For what does it say in Romans 8? For the manifestation of the Son of God in our mortal flesh. Holy Spirit, let's do this. Let's groan. Let's travail. Let's get the manifestation of the Lamb out, always bearing in our body. Daily offerings, daily perpetual sacrifice, not just the big conference. As of today, which is May 5th, for the past, it could be 14 years, it could be more than that, I have always been a part of the Fire Ministries annual conference, family reunion conference. And right now we would be in Ireland doing our conference and getting in the Word and sharing the word and seeking the Lord and crying out, all that is entailed in the wonderful, blessed, incredible times of the Lord's visitation to us during those conferences in Ireland. But right now, I'm in the middle of the muck and the mire. And maybe more Jesus is coming forth right now because I'm having to plop those lamps up all day long. You know, this is what God measures, the coming forth of his Son in us. Not conferences, not ministry materials that got sopping wet in the explosion. No, you know, it's like this. I remember when a week ago we were standing, three of us. One of the three is in this room now, water up to our ankles per se, you know, not knowing what's going to happen, you know, just craziness. And we held hands and we prayed and we said, everything that's happening and anything that could be destroyed, it's more valuable to you, burned up as an offering that can reach your heart by us releasing the Spirit of Christ through this, than it is whole, untouched, unharmed, but no death in the offering. You know, no lamb. So, yeah, Jesus of Nazareth was wonderful, but burned up on the cross and poured out as a libation and released as a sweet savor, he was more valuable to who? The Father. And only when we have lamb's eyes, the eyes of the lamb, will we see what's truly valuable to God. Because it certainly doesn't look valuable when you see something you call your Isaac burning up. He's not valuable when I put the knife in. He's only valuable alive. The Lord's like, I want my altered son. I want my daily offering. I want that burnt, whole burnt offering. And I believe that the equations that we're going to be doing, the math that we'll just look at in the Word of God, is going to just signify this one thing, how precious these daily offerings are to the Father. You know, not some deep thing, just a deep thing in the heart of God. And that's why this daily offering is so, so important. And that's why I would like to invite all of you and require in a non-legalistic and loving manner for the students to begin a daily devotional. I've started. It has at times saddened my heart. At other times, all glory to God. But the Lord is using it not, I'll explain it in a second, for condemnation, not for legalism, but to make me more sensitive and aware of the daily offering in my life. That's the heart behind it. But basically what it is keeping a diary and having the days, you know, just for a little while, marked, you know, starting today or starting tonight or starting tomorrow morning. You know, Thursday, May 6th, Friday, May 7th, Saturday, May 8th, Sunday, May 9th, and have the morning and the evening on this devotional. And write down if the Father got the morning offering, the morning sacrifice, or if your soul won and robbed the altar. And then evening, was there an evening sacrifice, or did my soul, or the circumstance, or what did someone rob the altar? And why, again, not for condemnation, not for legalism, not to create a works mentality or self-awareness, none of those things. That would be not what we're working for here, for the heart of the Lord, but just for a sensitivity that there is such a thing. And part of it that's affected me is looking at what I kept allowing to rob the altar, you know? And you know, it's so easy to just kind of walk through life and not realize that he's hungry. I remember one Sunday morning, I remember just this sense during a worship service of the Lord's hungry for his morning meal and he's hungry for his evening meal. And I saw him like a child that you would want to make sure got fed or nourished, or a husband that you'd want to serve to make sure he had strength and food and nourishment. And it's like, well, what mother would forget to feed her baby? I mean, no, she wouldn't. What wife would forget to serve her husband food three times a day, not just daily, but three times a day? But how many days have I forgot the morning and evening sacrifice, days without number? You know, it was a question that the Holy Spirit asked me. How many days go by with no thought of feeding him the daily offering, while I am so very aware of the earth and the things down here, yet his needs are forgotten, days without number? And so, you know, the Lord spoke that to my heart. He didn't speak that to anyone else's heart. He spoke that to me. And so, you know, that was for me to consider in my lack. So the question rose, well, what if these daily offerings really did count in God's heart? I will pose that as a question to everybody who's part of this class. What if the daily offerings counted to God, really counted, like down to the number? What if we could prove that in the Word of God? What would that mean about God and my personal relationship with him based on his Son in me? It's just a thought to make this more than math equations, but a heart relationship with the Lord. What if each offering was so precious to him that it was so marked in his heart and numbered in his word down to specific detail? What if his Son was so precious and beloved to his heart that he numbered every time he appeared and every time he was released through his people? What if? It's a wonderful question to consider. There will be, and I'm going to begin because time is of the essence with this class on many levels, spiritually first, but also the number of classes we're given and the amount of equations that are in the Father's, you know, he'll do what he wants. We're just with him. But I will say this now, to throw a little more out there for you to research. There will be two hard equations in Daniel chapter 8 that deal with the daily offering and how God numbers it according to his heart. So you can start searching. There is mucho in Daniel chapter 8, that also corresponds to specific chapters and verses in Revelation, and they have numbers, and they have similar words, and they're the same exact thing in the Spirit. It's really fun to search, especially if you're in love with God. You're going to love it. So I'm throwing out a lot of nuggets right now for the hungry scripture searches. Let's go again. There are two equations that deal with the daily offering in Daniel chapter 8. They also will have sister scriptures or brother scriptures in Revelation. Okay, now, you won't be able to really fully do the math. I have searched the internet and everywhere. I've never seen this particular variable, not just the internet, but many commentaries, yeah, just books on Daniel and Revelation and endless books. Lindsay knows my house is full of books. Yeah, I do have a lot of books on the Bible, a lot of Bibles and a lot of reference books. I've never seen the variable that the Spirit of the Lord shared with me that will be necessary to do the equation, but we will deeply, deeply look at this variable, and I do believe it will really bless your heart. So We're going to end with this question, and it's part of kind of the spirit of what we've been sharing tonight. And I pray it hasn't been us, but the Spirit of the Lord ministering to our hearts as He sees fit. But I just want to comment on this final point, and it's called robbing the altars and time. And it does go and flow with what we're going to be looking at in our heart equations. So the big question with time is, well, it's not the big question. A question with time is, how do I spend it? What is valuable to me? What matters? Now, I noticed that in myself even, just of course in myself, the answer to that a lot of times comes up with this image of, well, I need to not grocery shop anymore, or probably mow the lawn, or, you know, maybe I need to just stop, you know, playing board games for the rest of my life, because here I am, robbing time. And no, it's not about not playing board games or becoming a hermit that only scripture or ministry events. No, I think it more has to do with, what is the spirit that I walk in? You know, it's funny because I was in a denomination before I came to Jesus that was very works-oriented. And so it was extremely difficult for me to comprehend not earning it. I mean, it was a move of a God in the power of the Spirit to break legalism and the works mentality in me. I mean, just, I tried to earn forgiveness and everything. It was just an endless cycle of works, and it took the Lord. So when I'd hear something like, you know, you need to spend time with the Lord, that immediately that became, oh, I can't do anything. But then as I grew, as I diminished, and the mind of the Lord were still in process deeply, I have not nearly attained anything. But whatever incremental measure of Christ has been formed unto the glory of the Father, I've learned that it's not about what I'm doing and not doing, and it's the spirit that I'm doing it in. Who's doing it? What nature, what mind? That's the question. Not legalism and works and getting paranoid about doing this or not doing that. No, it's more, you know, Christ, being aware of Christ, and not even being aware of Christ, because that also is a work. But being conformed to His image, having His nature so written on the tables of our heart that He comes forth as our nature, as the spirit in which we walk, and in that sense fulfills all the offerings through us, including those daily offerings, those perpetual, always-bearing releases of His life. So, you know, every answer points back to Him. He is our provision, our all and in all. All glory to Jesus, to God, through Jesus Christ in His church. And I love this part. It says in Ephesians, worlds without end. Oh, worlds. I'll end with this. I remember in the denomination that I was raised, we had a minister, and he would preach. I'm using terminology that's not in this denomination. And we were little kids, and we had to go to service, like, I think it was like every other day or something. And on Wednesdays, the big minister would come in and share the liturgy or whatnot. And at the end of it, he'd always go, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Ever and ever, and ever and ever and ever, worlds without end. I'm like, wow, that's a long time. And there's some times when I maybe look at my daily offering journal and I realize how many of the offerings are being robbed. I just look at my Jesus and I say, hey, He who hath begun a good work in me is able to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, where those offerings aren't robbed. And I have forever and ever and ever and ever to continue to know him and grow in him and bring him forth. That's never an excuse for passivity or a lack of love and heartbreak over missing opportunities to be with him, to fellowship in his sufferings, to release him as the evening. But there is hope. He is our hope. He is our future, our eternal future, forever and ever and ever and ever, ever and ever, worlds without end. Amen. So on that note, let us pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus, your Son, the Lamb, the burnt offering. You put him in us. You knew that you needed to, because without him, we'd have nothing to bring. We would be barren without anything to please you or give you any time, much less each day. So we turn our hearts, our gaze, our faith, our love, our focus is on Jesus. He is able to subdue all things in us. He's our Joshua. He can take over and possess our inward parts and bring them forth as an offering to the Father. It's his. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Again, the glory goes back and back and back to you. Our faith turns and turns from ourselves to you. How we love you, Lord. How we thank you for immeasurable, immeasurable love that you gave yourself utterly to be all the provision we'll ever need, not just to us, but in us. And so we say, yes, Lord. Amen. So be it. We agree. We receive. And we thank you. It's with a thankful heart we say this. In Jesus' name, amen.